Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott. This is a one-hour interactive talk show. We'll talk college recruiting, athletic scholarships, and much more. Here's your host, M.H. Scott.
Hey, welcome to another Parents for the Parents Network show. I am your host, M.H. Scott. And folks, parents, I'm just going to have to tell you today, we got the conversation for you. I think this conversation with our special guest will open up your eyes and cause you to look at things from probably a different perspective. You know, I come on each and every week and I say words right along those same lines. But, you know, after sitting down, having a chance to talk with our guest today, not today, but previously, and as well, just researching and finding out a little bit, a few more things about our guest, I think we're in for a treat. Matter of fact, you know what? I know we're in for a treat. I'm going to say that because most recently, last month, we were sitting in a meeting together. And just some of the things that she shared in that meeting was so profound. I said, we got to have her on. We got to have her on. So, folks, you know, I can't start my show without popping up my man, Mr. Keith Wright, and letting him do his little piece. So without further ado, where you at, Keith? Okay, Mr. Producer, let's get the soundtrack going.
Student of the game, had people front and talk about me, but that ain't no thing. See, I know I would make it with the knowledge in my brain, and if I succeed with that, then B-Ball would do the same. I can't complain, the situation that I'm in, meeting different connects that turn out to be my friends. I know it'll turn out great when my 4 years come to an end, and when the ball starts bouncing on my diploma out the pen, but I'm hating then. Playing ball is just a small part. With this education, I have a great start. And if you work hard for the teachers, they might be showing love in the stands or in the bleachers. I'm only preaching. I'm just trying to spit knowledge and acknowledge opportunities at your disposal when you get to college. I use ball as a tool. Now every day I'm living and I'm making smart cool. That's how I do.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region. You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Hey, it's the Parents Coach Parents Network. We're back. And like I was saying just before we went to our little infomercial, and, you know, we had to play our jingle and our little special piece made by my man, Mr. Keith Wright. Oh, man, we got some information for you today. So I'm going to first start out by saying, parents, I need you to help me welcome Dr. Deborah Strowman to the Parents Coach of Parents Network. And she hasn't joined us before, but hopefully this won't be the last time. Dr. Strowman, her role as an advisor and an instructor in the equity concentration. And we got to find out a little bit more about this equity concentration. Specializing in leadership as it applies to the domain of racial equity in the United States. Now, many of you may say, what they got to do with sports? But I think she's going to unpack some things this afternoon that will tie all that in together. And you'll probably have an aha moment a few times over. So don't be so fast to jump to the gun, you know, and say, oh, well, what they got to do with, what they got to do with me as a prince. Listen, folks, I'm going to give you a second. Go ahead and get your notepads, your pens, your paper, your pencils, wherever you need. And we're going to get our guest up here. We're going to get started. And I'm going to have her do a little introduction and just talk a little bit about herself, because I got some things I need to find out how long she's been in this game. So we're going to move right along and bring up our guest today. Dr. Strowman, are you there?
I am here, and thank you so much for this wonderful invitation to be with you.
Oh, we was honored when you said, yeah, I'll be on your show. Hey, I said, hey, we just did something here, folks. We just dotted an I and crossed a big T, and we ready to rock and roll. So we're going to start right on out with the questions, because if some folks call in and they got some questions, I'm going to try to pipe them in as well. And folks, if you want to call in, you can always reach us at 516-453-9932. I'm going to say that number one more time, a little slower for you. 516-453-9932. Now, let's go to our guest, our special guest. I gotta put some emphasis on that. Oh, man. Dr. Strowman, I need you to tell us how long you've been involved in sports. And then we're going to tie all that back around to this other stuff that you do as well. But I know you've been involved in sports for quite some time.
How about my entire life? I came out of the womb playing sports. I came out of the womb. I was active in elementary school, and leadership, the gift, the skills, even at a young age, I remember my friends having to report to my desk to figure out their assignments for the kickball games in elementary school.
Wow.
And to this day, I can probably say kickball is still my favorite sport. I even have a little red ball. I haven't hit it in a while, but I love kickball. You know, I did play every sport possible. I grew up outside of Philadelphia in a very, very sport-driven area outside of Philadelphia. In high school, I was a football manager. I played volleyball. I played basketball, and I played softball. As LeBron would say, I took my talents to the University of Virginia, and that is our wonderful connection, where I played basketball there. And then after Virginia, I carefully selected the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, where I was also graduate assistant coach for the 1984 ACC champions with basketball. From there, I dabbled a bit in grassroots AAU basketball and coached a bit. And now I am a professor at the University of North Carolina. I also teach at the University of Virginia. And I work in two spaces. One is sport business, and the other is racial equity, race and racism. And as you know, those fields are definitely connected. So that's my story.
And that's truly a story to open up your eyes, folks. Like I told you before, she's going to tie all this together for us. And if that didn't tie it together for you, you must have missed the whole conversation. We truly appreciate you joining us this afternoon, taking the time out of your busy schedule, because I think the last time we talked, you said you was flying here and then you was flying there and you had one more trip. My goodness, when do she slow down? But appreciate you joining us.
The pandemic. Yeah, the pandemic is, because it is still definitely going on. It's definitely been a challenge, but there have been, in many ways, something good for all of us, the ability to reflect on what's important, spend more time with family and friends, and when you get the opportunity to escape a bit, whether that's in your own house or, you know, going to another location. So I've been very blessed in that regard. But, yes, I was on a little travel bit for a while. But during the pandemic, for the most part, I was at home.
Understood. That's where we all were, and that's probably the safest place for us to be at that time. And still, in some cases, all depends on what's going on and what's your surrounding environment. But you mentioned something as you tied those pieces together, and you talked about sports, and then you tied it into the equity piece. You know, from the youth level all the way through to professionals, how do you look at some of the value that sports adds to the everyday life?
Well, it is very, very important. Yes, I'm very biased being an athlete. And as Phil Knight stated, the founder of Nike, he said that if you have a body, you're an athlete. So I think everybody in our listening audience is an athlete, and I hold on to that. You know, besides my work on campus, you know, as a professor, I also have my own business, which focuses on, you know, that's that bucket of sport business, being in touch with athletes from my own experience, but definitely to the athletic world, whether it's young people, whether it's the coaches, whether it's the support team, all those folks. There's no doubt that we realize there are some values that translate outside of sports. And, you know, we've got the hard skills. As in, I know, I've read it, I've researched it, I've observed it, that sports teaches you math, analytics, and that's a big part of my work, whether it is, you know, figuring out the possessions, when's the best time to score, understanding how to read a clock, to the angles, the geometry. You know, I was a point guard in college, and I definitely – my game was big on angles, understanding what is a good pass, what type of velocity the ball will have to be thrown, passing into the post, understanding angles and math. Computer skills come in sports, and certainly now a lot of coaches are using software to explain their plays for students, for athletes to study the game. We know there's equipment skills that are taught. We kind of take it for granted, but there are things, there are equipment. In particular, when you're thinking about the body in terms of its development, there's equipment out there that athletes know about that most Americans don't know about. You know, whether it's being in the pool for rehabilitation, whether it's being you know, calculating your oxygen levels. Now we have technology to figure out, you know, sleep cycles, all these things. You're getting exposed to this equipment. So there are definitely hard skills. And then the soft skills we all know about, everything from communication, from teamwork, to persistence, to discipline, to leadership. So all of those things go from whether you're a youngster or whether or not you're an elite player in professional sports. Those skills, hard and soft, come through sports.
And you are so true, and I've seen all of that unfold from A to Z, because I have to think about when you talked about some of the equipment, and you talked about the pool, and you talked about some of the other equipment that's out there. You know, I often was like, okay, what the pool got to do with playing basketball? Because my son, you know, Mike grew up playing basketball, doing his thing, and you know, guys kept telling me, yeah, get him in the pool, let him work out in the pool. And I'm like, he know how to swim. He's been swimming for a while. So what do you need to get in the pool for? But after a while, after a few months of that, it was an altogether different person. Altogether different person. And I didn't realize that. And parents, you miss out on some of these tools that's out there for you, that's right there in front of you, to help your child develop, because you're out here doing stuff that hasn't really been tested. And as I was talking to a gentleman a few weeks ago on another show, he was talking about all these guerrilla tactics, that's what he called them, all these strange exercises that folks are now doing to try to enhance their bodies and improve their skills and all these other things. And, you know, I've never understood what carrying around a 30 to 40, 50 pound big old chain, carrying that around, what that had to do with basketball. I'm still puzzled on that piece, but I've seen it. Seeing guys had chains wrapped around their neck, wrapped around their waist, tied up on them, all kinds of stuff going on. But anyway, you know, as you talk about all the different skills and how individuals had a chance to develop, and you being a point guard and you having to figure out the angles and you having to think about all these things. And I say to folks oftentimes, our kids are geniuses. And what I mean by that is any athlete that steps out there on the floor, on the court, whatever, wherever their playing field is, wherever that competition field is, they're geniuses, because folks look at them and you have to, and you can remember this. You can remember this term, this old ugly term that was used, the dumb jock. You know, that term was out some years ago when I was a little guy, and I was like, well, I'm not dumb, but I can play a little sport. You know, I can do what I got to do, but I'm not a dummy. You know, I do the same thing everybody else is doing in the classroom. And the reason why I say that they're geniuses, because they're capable of making the split-second decision, just like you said, figuring out an angle, how to pass into the post, figuring out an angle, how you're going to maneuver yourself on the court, figuring out an angle or when you go into the basket, you know, whether or not you're going to end up laying it up with your left hand or end up laying it up with your right hand based upon where your defender's at that time, and that defender making a last-minute shift and you figuring that you have to make that quick adjustment as well. You're doing all of that in split-second timing. But not only that, you're doing your thing in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
You can have the average classroom student that's not involved in sports come out on the court and still make those same split-second decisions. So,
well, there's
my...
no doubt.
Go ahead.
No, it's about exposure. How are young people able to showcase what they've learned through sports in the classroom and in jobs and in careers? You know, I think of young people who can rap. You know, it's much more than, hey, there's my favorite artist and let me memorize that one song. There is a genius there to be able to hear someone rap and then be able to create your own or duplicate it or amplify it or build upon it. So can we take that to the classroom? And I've been very, very happy to hear about a number of teachers who now allow their students to learn, to study, you know, formulas, history by rapping it, putting it to a beat, to music. That is genius. And so this can be found in all different realms, but are we giving our young people the opportunity to showcase these skills that they have that might not come in the way that it's it might not have been shown the way it has been in the past on a piece of paper and, you know, and a pen, right?
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was having this conversation as well. I said, there's something wrong with our school system. Our school system is set up in the same exact fashion it was set up some 200 years ago. You got a row of desks, and you got one person standing out front pointing to a board, whether or not we're using the now modern-day whiteboard or whatever they got up there, or back then it was a old black chalkboard or whatever, you know, but it's still the same setup. It's still the same, same structure. And come on, at what point in time are we going to move away from that? And that's going to take me into my next question, because – being able to do all this as an athlete, being involved in sports since you were little, and I've watched many other athletes come through and do some of the same thing, you know, how much of pressure is that on athletes to try to maintain? And is there any type of mental health concerns to try to maintain their level of confidence as they move forward in their careers?
there is no doubt that we need to pay attention to their physical health, their mental health, their social health. And when you're talking about, you know, elementary to 12th grade and college, things have become even more amplified. And it's a lot due to technology, the advances in technology now, where young people are now expressing on their social media pages that I don't feel good, I'm out of sync. They might even use the language that I'm depressed. We've got the ways that they're communicating now in terms of with technology, with their coaches, with their support staff, being able to check in. I know at the college level, the well-resourced colleges, they now have apps where the young people are communicating with their point person, whether it's the coach, whether it's an assistant coach or someone else on the medical side, to talk about how you're doing that day, how you're processing. But the pressure is on, whether it's their own self-imposed pressures, pressures from the coach or pressures from the support group. And I mean family members as well. There are family members who basically say to young people, you owe me. I paid for this. I took you there. I'm expecting a return, right? And so young people are feeling this weight. And it's really, really troubling, especially when you have the athlete has demonstrated some level of success. And they're right on the border of being elite. So yes, there's a chance that they can make it, or there's a chance that it could all fall apart. And that pressure gets really, really heavy. And then when you think about the pandemic, how do you bond? How do you bond with a team, with a teammate, with this, without the extended physical engagement? You know, when we grew up and we played, not only did you hang out with your teammates, you know, during practice in the locker room, but then you went to get something to eat together. Then you were at people's homes. Then you were with each other, you know, on the weekends, the movies. But with the pandemic, a lot of that, to a great deal, has been shut down for all the right reasons. And so how do you connect with someone? And so we're trying to figure out today, the research is taking place now, how are young people bonding and creating community with smartphones, with apps, with social media? I think, you know, in another maybe 4 or 5 years, we're going to have some very telling data to see the effectiveness of this. And I know we both experienced being in restaurants and looking around the restaurant and seeing not only young people but also adults. Each person has a phone in their hand and nobody's talking, except when the waiter or waitress comes and you order. And then after that, everybody goes back to their phone. I think this is detrimental to our society, and our young people are really going to pay a price for this.
And I can't agree with you more. I cannot agree with you more, because that is really You take away the personal effects. You put them in this glass jar where they think that them and their phone is all they need to survive. It's bad. It's horrible. You know, I think about this here situation, and as I was thinking about the mental health piece, you know, oftentimes an athlete can go to a coach and say, coach, I need to see the trainer. You know, I jammed my wrist the other day doing XYZ, or my ankle or my knee or whatever it is. But how many times have you heard of an athlete going to a coach and say, and getting a positive response, going to a coach and say, coach, for whatever reason, I'm just not feeling it today. I'm not feeling practice today. You know, I got some things on my mind. Can I sit this one out? Or I tell you, I believe that young man or that young lady will probably get chewed up one side and back down the other. But that's that mental health piece that we need to start putting some more emphasis on that piece. You know, do you agree with me, disagree with me, or have you ever heard anything like that before?
Well, that's very, very common. And more colleges are definitely putting emphasis on it, because as much as, you know, three divisions in NCAA, and when you talk about Division One, Division Two, not so much Division Three, but Division Two and Three definitely are looking at this as a business. You know,
yes,
sports were on college campuses way back when, because they serve an academic purpose, as in just like you would learn something in history, chemistry, you know, math, you're going to learn something through physical education. And so that's why it was on a college campus. Now, today, things have changed so much, as in we don't even really teach physical education anymore. You learn it through your sport team if you're blessed enough to be on a varsity sport. Now we have exercise sports science. We've got kinesiology. We've got these ways that you can learn the business of sport or exercise physiology. How does the body get stronger, faster, quicker? But for the average college student, if they're not majoring in that, they're not getting physical education, which is a whole nother podcast on the obesity of America. And I'm not talking about fitness, because you can be of a heavy build and be fit. I'm talking about obesity where it's detrimental to the body. So now physical education is removed from the classroom. And then we have coaches who are trying to teach with their sports science team that's associated with the team. They'll get, you know, more knowledge on how the body works and how to take care of your body after your sport career is over. But this is all about business, as in selling tickets, putting people in stands. And so this is now trickled down to your well-resourced high schools. And we know if the well-resourced high schools are doing it, then the middle schools are going to start looking at it. So it's really out of control. I try to keep the mental health lens on. I always keep the racial equity lens on. And we have to think about how this pressure to make money, whether it's the principal, the athletic director, the school board, the board of trustees, we have to keep our eyes on it, because more often than not, we're finding that corners are being cut. As in, even though we're supposed to have an athletic trainer on during practice or during the game, oh, they're missing, or they're going to show up for the second half. Where's the medical doctor for the college programs? You know, are they only going to show up for the football team? Well, what about softball, or what about field hockey? And then when we think about the racial equity lens, you know, how are we going to have accountability when you run into coaches who espouse racist or sexist thoughts? How is that affecting team chemistry? Will the administrator step in, or because that coach has such a winning record, we're just going to, you know, let this one pass? There's a lot going on in sports, which really makes us concerned about mental health and racial equity.
That, oh my goodness. Folks, I hope you caught all that. I hope you truly caught all of that. Again, you want to call in, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. Got a few numbers that popped up here. Let's see if they want to have anything to say. Most of the time, they just call in and just listen on their phone. Area code 757. First two numbers is 62424. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Come on, don't be shy. 757-624. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Going once. Going twice. Okay, we'll come back to you. Just put your hand up next time, and we'll pop right back to you. All right, here's the next one. Area code 404-212. 404-212. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. 404-212. Welcome to the Parents Coaching Parents Network. Okay, you just want to listen? I have no problem with that. Oh, we got a third one that just popped up. Area code 512. Let's see. 512-762. Welcome to the Parents Coach the Parents Network. Did
Hi.
You have something? Do you have a question for our guest? Are y'all teaming up on me today?
Can you hear me?
Dr. Strom, you hear who that is?
Yes.
You hear who that is?
Hey, Deborah. Hey. That's okay. I got a question. You know, you were talking about mental equity, and I noticed in the program, specifically at Carolina, that they brought in the mental, you know, they brought in one specific staff member to deal with the mental aspects of football, but I haven't seen the same outreach on basketball. Do you know anything about what's going on with that? Like, are they going to, is that one resource supporting all sports, which I probably think not, but What is the do you have any information or knowledge of how they're going to bring in the health and mental equity into the other sports they bring into football?
Absolutely. So thank you for your question. So the University of North Carolina is a major, major research university. And so there isn't a major research university that doesn't have a clinical psychological unit to help all students. And so UNC has that. And again, all major universities have that. They have multi-million dollar budgets. The other piece is when you're talking about well-resourced schools like a Carolina, they will also have mental health specific to the athletic department. Now, in the past, we've known this as sports psychology, but sports psychology is focused on, are you calm when you shoot your free throws? When you are getting ready to break the huddle, do you really know where you're supposed to be, or is your heart racing? So it's more about performance. Now, what we've added is mental health. And yes, Carolina has mental health professionals for all sports. There is not a sport in Carolina where the student athlete cannot go and seek help. And again, that's at all major universities. Now, when we're talking about second-tier schools, that's where it's really challenging. You might be sharing folks. You might have to wait a few days to, you know, to see a counselor. So those schools that aren't resourced well, yes, it's very, very challenging. Now, where I put my racial equity lens on, and I can speak as a Black woman, knowing our community, that I find that it is best. We can't always make it happen, but it's ideal when you have a Black student athlete speaking to a Black mental health therapist. That's the challenge at the well-resourced schools, making sure that there are enough Brown and Black counselors, mental health counselors, speaking to Brown and Black athletes.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for that information.
Thank
but
you.
I agree with you on that. You're welcome.
Did she answer your question? Oh.
Yes.
I guess she went back to listening. But anyway, that was our favorite friend, Annette. I guess she decided to chime in and ask a question. And that was a very good question, because that was going to be part of what I was going to lead in with next anyway, because I was concerned about that, whether or not there was actually someone attached to the various teams to help these kids work through issues. You know, if a kid came to a coach and said, "Coach, I'm not feeling it today," could he send him to a mental health expert to sit down and talk to someone that he can relate to get, you know, work through some things? Or does he just say or hear from the coach, "Hey, suck it up. You know, we're going to get through this one here. It's going to be a light practice today. We'll be all right. You'll be all right," and keep on moving from there.
Well, that's the challenge. That's why parenting and support group is so important, because when your student, your child shows up at a major university, if they don't have the confidence to say, "I'm going to go to the counseling center that has nothing to do with athletics," or
uh-huh.
"I'm going to tell my mother, my father, my best buddy from back home that I reached out and they're basically shunning me or telling me to go in a different direction." That's why parents cannot just turn the keys over to these coaches and think that everything's going to be fine. I know they did a great job in recruiting. They might have hooked you up with some gear and some swag and maybe some Benjamins, but you just can't turn everything over to the coaching staff. Your young person has to be confident. Even if they are still intimidated by their coaches, and I understand that, they're 17, 18 years old, but at least if they can speak up to their parents, to their loved ones, to their guardians and say, "Something isn't right. I don't feel good. I don't like what this coach said to me in practice." So then they can then receive the confidence so they can go to other resources or bring in the parents. Now, the worst nightmare for coaches is when parents get overly involved in their students' development in school. And so you have to be careful with that, because then you don't want your youngster to be shunned or not given the starting spot because of the parent. You know, the parents are getting on the coaching staff's nerves.
Exactly.
But it's some juggling here. But you definitely want to instill confidence in your athlete to make sure they don't get abused by the school or the coaching staff.
it's very interesting that you said that, because when I was just doing a little background and little legwork to check out the University of Virginia, the school Mike attended, I came across a similar situation talking to a parent, and they had to go up and actually check on their child. And the young man had closed himself up in his room for about a week or so. And he was going through a bout of depression, and, you know, nobody was even looking for him. No, folks had thought that he had just dropped off the team, or he had went home for a little while. Come to find out, he was shut up, you know, he closed himself off in his room. And he didn't have a roommate. So as a result, nobody was checking on the young man until the family decided to say, okay, hey, what's going on? Haven't heard from him in a while. They called up to the school and come to find out, you know, no one up there had seen him and thought that he had dropped out of school and didn't tell nobody. So they ended up taking a trip up there and having to have someone open up his room door just to see, because they seen his car was still outside. And come to find out, he's sitting in his room, just sitting there, you know. So they took him home and took care of him, you know, got his head on right. And, you know, I guess he's recovered from there. But, you know, interesting that you said all that. I've been thinking about somewhere along the lines, at some point in time, coming up with some type of human services for athletes, you know, along the lines of counseling, along the lines of some type of therapeutic treatment for ones that like to abuse alcohol and all that kind of stuff. No, just some type of outlet for them to help get them on track and get their minds focused back on what they really should be focused on. You know, not only just playing the sport, but, you know, becoming a productive citizen in society later on in life, and not allowing you not getting a starting position, or you now being bumped down to the third string, or whatever the case is, or you're running risk of getting dropped off the team because of your eligibility. Okay, get your mind full, get yourself focused. And I've been thinking about that, and we'll talk more about that later on. But let's talk a little bit about the business of sports, because you alluded to that on several cases, and you've talked about several different things. Just tell us, what are you doing in that space of the business of sports?
So teaching, certainly there's a lot to learn when you think about, you know, the whole industry of sports business. It's one of the largest industries, bigger than music, bigger than fashion. And certainly, again, with the advances in technology, even more areas are jumping in and saying, I want a part of this. But my company is called Stroman Athletic and Asset Management, and I have a few things that I do in that space. One is helping athletes to transition, elite athletes transitioning to life after sports, whether that's a career, whether it is getting your degree, as in completing your degree or going after an advanced degree, and then being an entrepreneur. In all three of those spaces, whether it's education, whether it is transitioning from sports, whether it is having your own business, I've done all those. And so I can speak to that. I'm also partnering with a number of organizations. One of the biggest highs I'm in right now is I'm working with a brother, another professor. He's at George Washington University. And we have a grant with the Alzheimer's Association and the National Institute of Aging. And we're looking at black men's brain health. And so last Super Bowl and two more Super Bowls, we will be there convening a number of academics and also a number of NFL players. We partnership with the NFL Alumni Association. And so it's just a great space to be in. We all need to know more about brain dementia. And I'm not talking about concussions and, that whole realm. That indeed is important and it's critical. But I'm talking about brain dementia in general, and it's affecting black men severely, greatly, and we need to study that and learn more about it. Also, you know, our friendship blossomed with Learn to Win and NBA Math Hoops. Now, I'm no longer on the board after serving for 6 years, but being able to work with young people, primarily grades 4 the sixth grade and helping them learn their math tables, which we know is essential in life, using WNBA and NBA shooting statistics. So that's a lot of fun. I'm also working with the advancement of blacks in sports. And this is where we put a stake in the ground saying that if we're not going to speak up, who's going to speak up? And so we advocate for black athletes, black coaches, black administrators in terms of we need equity. We demand equity. So that's showing up as well. I host a basketball analytics summit every April. And so it is a great way to get connected with math and basketball. I have some of the brightest minds in the world sharing their knowledge. Over the past 2 years now, due to the pandemic, I've gone virtual. And so wherever you are, whether you're listening in from California or Miami or New York, you can listen in and be a part of my Basketball Analytics Summit. So those are just some of the things that I'm up to in the world of sports.
Awesome. I told you folks, told you you're going to learn something today. Without a doubt, you're learning something today. If you didn't, I don't know, you must have missed the entire show. But again, if you want to call in, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. We're going to take a second or so, step away, let you wet your whistle, and then we're going to come right back and close out. You'll still be able to hang in there with us?
Absolutely.
All right. We'll be back.
Anywhere, the Parents Coaching Parents Network with your host, M.H. Scott, will be back in just a few moments.
And with the 43rd pick in the 2012 NBA Draft, the Atlanta Hawks select Mike Scott from the University of Virginia.
You are listening to the number one sports parents podcast in the Mid-Atlantic region.
Mr. Scott, Coach Klein, just calling to check in with you. I'm on my way to Patterson School today. I'll see Mike again tomorrow.
Mr. Scott, how you doing? This is Jeff Battle again. We got disconnected. If there's any problems or whatever, Coach Muse is looking forward to showing you guys around. My cell number.
Mike, this is Skip Prosser from Wake Forest. It's about 7:40. I understand you went by campus.
Mr. Scott, it's Coach Fernandez here with the University of Miami. Hey, hope is well. I just wanted to touch bases with you. I think your son was coming home this weekend and wanted me to give you a call. Hope.
Hey there, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Pompey, New Mexico State University. Saw your son play during the summer with Lou Williams. If you can, give me a call.
Hey, Mr. Scott. This is Coach Bradley down at Clemson. If you had a chance, my cell is 864.
This message will be saved for...
Hey, Michael. George Johnson again with the NBA. We are playing phone tag. If it's okay.
Mike Scott, Dan Williams, Philadelphia School District Sports Administration, Compliance, NCAA, you left.
Hey, Mike, this is John Belon, the head coach at West Virginia. Trying to get in touch with you here, so I want to talk with you a little bit about your son. I know he's at home.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Dave Lake, calling. It's about 6:15. Hope all is well. I talked to Coach Keats earlier today, and he said he had a conversation with you.
Next message.
Hey, Mr. Scott, Coach Keats, call me back with your fax.
Good evening, Mr. Scott. This is Chris Horn giving you a call back from thesaber.com. I hope all's going well. Hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Sort of audio, I'd like to just...
Mr. Scott, this is Justin Young, editor of Rivals.com Basketball Recruiting. I just want to give you a call this morning. It's 9:45. I understand.
Guide, athletes, this, scholarship, mentors,
and elevate, parents, coaching, parents, know the game. Well, folks, we're back. We've been talking with Dr. Strowman, and boy, she hasn't shared some things with us this afternoon, I'm telling you. You know, we got a few more minutes here. If you want to call in, join the conversation, or ask a question. If you call in, you want to ask a question, hit option one. That'll show me that your hand is raised, and then I could bring you in the queue. Because I'm not going to call off all these phone numbers that's looking up here. And if you ain't got your hand up, then I don't know if you want to ask a question or not, or you just want to hear yourself breathe. Or you may want to do a little bit of both. Right now, we're going to get questions in here. So if you want to call in, you can reach us at 516-453-9932. 516-453-9932. We've been talking with Dr. Strowman, who is all over the place in this sports industry, but not only in the sports industry, but talking about equity as well. Leveling the playing field, bringing things up to where they should be in the first place. Dr. Strowman, you still with us?
Yes, I am.
We thank you. We thank you for hanging in there. And I know you probably got a busy week coming up, just as most of us do, but we're going to make things happen the way we're supposed to. Well, you know, you shared some information with us during just prior to the break. And you talked about blacks in sport. Is that organization that recently had a conference? Did they recently have a conference in Atlanta?
Yes.
Is that the same one?
So the Advancement of Blacks in Sports, we held our first ever Champions and Legends Weekend. And that was over Memorial Weekend in Las Vegas. And it was a star-studded affair. We were able to do some education with young people, and then we also recognize some of the greats. One of the highlights for me was hearing, for the first time ever, may he rest in peace and power, Kobe Bryant's parents spoke.
Oh, my.
And, yeah, it was really, really moving. And having to meet again Dr. J, I mean, just Spencer Haywood, and certainly his story is just amazing. And so it was really, really a wonderful time. And we need to do this more often. To celebrate our giants. That's really, really important.
That's so true. So true. So true. And you know, they don't get the recognition that they should, because they were the true pioneers behind what we're sitting and stuck in front of a TV for hours and hours and hours on end, you know, as often as we can be anytime one of the games are on. And they need to get the recognition that they are just due. Well,
yeah. With that being said, let me also mention, since this is the 50th anniversary of Title IX, recognizing C. Vivian Stringer, head coach of Rutgers, who's retiring, but certainly, you know, recognizing her as well. She was a big part of my development as a basketball player. But yes, we need to do more of this.
So true. So true. And just like Coach Stringer, you know, all these giants that was pioneers in the game, we don't know about them. Folks don't know about them. You know, I'm drawing a blank right now, but I'm thinking about the very first black NBA player. What is his name?
Well, are you saying drafted or the one who actually played?
Played.
Gosh, I want to say the Celtics. I know they had a.
If you call the name, I can tell you. I'll tell you exactly.
Francis Lloyd. Earl Lloyd. He was the first.
Earl Lloyd. Now that don't sound familiar. Okay, I'll come back to
it. He's the first one to sign a contract. I know there was others, Chuck Cooper. But, yeah, Earl Lloyd was the first one to actually to play, you know.
But see, we don't hear those names. You know,
no.
Only names that we hear are about modern-day marketing tools that the system has created. You know,
I venture to say for some of our young people, they don't even know going back to the 70s and 80s. So.
Oh, true.
Let alone going back to the 50s.
You know, if I ask a young person today who's Big House Gaines, they look at me like,
right.
Who? you know.
Exactly.
What? Big house. Mm-hmm. I don't know nothing about no big house. I said, okay, then you don't know nothing about basketball, young man. You don't know nothing about basketball.
So who's teaching them? And we can't expect the schools to do it because there's a certain interest, certain curriculum. And so we need to be better, and this is where the creativity and imagination is. What can we build? What companies can we create that will help increase our knowledge base so that we are more confident, right? That's what this is all about.
True, so true. And you know, I was just having a discussion with a young man about 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he tried to tell me that, yeah, Magic Johnson was the first he signed the first $1 million contract. Magic ain't signed that contract until 1984, and Jordan was already on the board. So what are you trying to say? You know, prior to that, those guys was not being exposed to the amount of money that was being generated in that industry. So don't say Magic Johnson, yeah, Larry Bird. No. Jordan was the premier, 1984, signed a $1 million contract, and then it started going from there. So, you know, Magic signed one because they knew they couldn't sign Jordan without doing something with Magic, because Magic was the face of the league at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah.
You know, in our last few minutes here on the show, and I thank you for hanging in there and staying in there with us. Give us some insight on what parents can do to educate their kids in all these various spaces that you have shared with us today. And we didn't even get a chance to touch heavily on any racial issues or anything of that nature. But from sports all the way through to just mental health awareness, what can parents start to do? And I know one thing, we just talked about just sharing some names with them from the past, you know, making sure they know who some of the pioneers are in this field. So what's some of the other things?
Well, I'm going to go non-traditional, because certainly you can Google and you can read the basic things that any parent should do for their child, starting with, you know, making sure they have good food. As in food that you eat, what are you drinking, and what you're putting in your brain in terms of what are you studying. So non-traditional things. So I believe if this young person is considering college, that whatever it takes, try to develop a relationship with a college professor. A college professor is going to give you insight in terms of what's really going on that campus. Because when you do your recruiting trip, meeting with a college professor is generally not on the schedule, and for various reasons, because the college professor may or may not love sports, but they also know what's the tension on the campus, how challenging will it really be. And certainly if you are a student of color, try to meet with a professor that is a person of color. And so that's one thing that most people don't think about. The next is, from the academic side, if you want to pay attention in terms of what's going on with sports, there's an organization called the North American Society for the Sociology of Sport. North American Society for the Sociology of Sport. And just like sociology, right, the study of groups of communities, this group focuses on what's going on in the world of sports. Now, it is an academic group, but again, if you are interested in that space, the publications, what's being said, you know, conference proceedings and things like that, that's a good group to follow. I will
give me the name of that group again one more time.
Yes, the North American Society for the Sociology of Sport. They look at inequities. They look at, again, what do sociologists do? They study how groups work together. The good, the bad, and the ugly, and they do it with sport. And then I did mention the Advancement of Blacks in Sports, ABIS. You can check out our website. We are ABIS, Advancement of Blacks in Sports. And then I will mention that I did write an article. I do a lot of writing on Medium, so you can just, you know, Google me. My handle for social media and for Medium is at Dr. Stroman, Dr. Stroman, at Dr. Stroman. And the article that I wrote is called The Ultimate Guide to Selecting an Historically White College and University for the Elite Black Athlete. the ultimate guide to selecting an historically white college university for the elite black athlete. And there I put in some more tips and things to look for when you're trying to select a college.
Mm. Well, I wish I would have had a chance to read that article some years ago. I'm quite sure that would have been an eye-opener, but I will definitely be checking out that article. You said that's posted up on one of your social media platforms?
Yeah, yes. If you go to medium.com, that is a platform for writers. And so my articles are listed there, medium.com. Just like small, medium, large, medium.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. I'm going to have to check that out. I'm going to check that out. And I definitely thank you for those tips to the parents. Now, other than your social media platform at Dr. Stroman, at Dr. Stroman, how can folks follow you, or just that's just it, on your social media platform?
Yeah, so Twitter's at Dr. Stroman. That is one way. The Medium, my writings are there, Dr. Stroman.
Okay.
And then my own website, you know, D. Stroman, just my first initial and last name, dstroman.com. But, you know, I'm doing interviews, I'm writing. If you just put my name in the Google search, I'm pretty sure something's going to pop up. I love creating and I love disrupting. I think there's a lot to be disrupted in this country, and starting with the sports industry. But certainly we need to have more equity, whether it's on the women's side, on the brown and black people. I think there's more than enough, and there's a lot of hoarding and greed going on, and sadly it also affects young people. So
yes,
that's where we are, and I'm sticking to it.
And that's altogether different show, but that probably can go for at least a couple hours by itself. I know for a fact. And if I'm not mistaken, I think I came across a couple of radio spots that you do. Or do you do those radio spots on a regular basis? On, I think it's W-R-A-R-A-L, Raleigh.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
So it is the only morning drive show that is anchored by black people. And it's W-R-A-L in Raleigh. It's called The Sports Shop. And so I'm on generally on Thursday mornings. Around 8 o'clock a.m., Thursday mornings, WRAL, The Sports Shop, and you can find them on Twitter as well and Facebook. And then I do a local show. I am located in Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and so I do some work with our local radio station as well, and that is chapelborough.com.
All right. See, I told you was out there. Told you, folks. I'm telling you, you have no excuses now. You have access to a, man, priceless wealth of information Dr. Stroman has shared with us today. And we truly appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and join us here on the Parents Coach and Parents Network. But I know for a fact we're going to have you back on, because there's some other things that you mentioned today that we need to dig a little deeper into. And definitely update us on at least some of the recent changes in Title IX. I want to have that conversation around Title IX and how they're moving forward with some of the changes that I've heard about over the last few years or over the last year or so. So I'm going to leave that alone. Could you close us out with something there, Doc?
Well, I just want to thank you. Thank you for your behind-the-scenes work, and at times you are leading in front as well, but oftentimes this great work is done by people who just have a commitment to young people and helping them to have some of the things that we didn't have, or helping to build off the resources that they do have. And so I support you, and I appreciate all that you're doing, and certainly your reach is much more than your home community. It's all, you know, as long as people have access to the internet, as long as people have technology, they can pipe in and learn valuable lessons from you and the people that you work with. And so I'm hopeful that things will get better in this country. Certainly we have, seems like a nasty
sentiment around violence in this country, and that has got to change. There's just too much violence. I know there's a better way.
Yes.
We have to think in terms of how we can create, how can we have more equity, how we can lift up all of humanity. So I thank you. Thank you for the time.
Well, we thank you for joining us today. And folks, we have had the pleasure of having Dr. Strowman on with us here on the Parents Coaching Parents Network. And as always, you know, it's been another wonderful, great show. It's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. Hey, check us out. Share the information. Share this episode. I know someone else that you know needs to hear this information, so you need to share it. Please share it, share it, share it. And until next Sunday, 3 p.m., check the calendar. I've posted the calendar up on our Parents Coaching Parents Facebook page, who's up with us next Sunday. But throughout the week, oh, just a special treat. On Wednesday, Thursday, and possibly Friday, I may have some pop-ups on our Parents Coaching Parents Network page where I got some other special guests popping in for some short interviews. All right. Hey, it's been fun. It's been real. It's been real fun. And hey, you have a great day. We out of here.